I can get caught in a trap of expecting her asking or her communication to be like, I want it to be in the form that I want it to be in, rather than it's in her form. I have to get past that sometimes. That
you've got to let that.
Yeah.
Go. Right.
She's not going to ask for things the way I want her to. Sometimes I get so caught up there that I can't actually see what's underneath it. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I can then I can take it personally or whatever, instead of just seeing where she's coming from.
Tell Me About Your Kids is a chance for you to listen in on unscripted conversations with connected parenting specialist Bonnie Harris. As she talks with real parents like you about real struggles like yours, these counseling sessions get to the heart of why our buttons get pushed as parents and offer tips and advice useful no matter your child's age. Listen in and subscribe to Let Go of Old Habits and raise your kids in a way that feels good. If you're having a parenting challenge and need help, visit BonnieHarris.com for free resources, schedule a session, or get a free one-on-one counseling session by becoming a podcast guest. We're all in it together. You're not alone. Thanks for listening.
Tell me about your kids. Welcome back to Tell Me About Your Kids. I'm Bonnie Harris. I'm your host, and I'm here with my buddy and co-host and sidekick and sound engineer, Adam Arnone.
Yes, yes. Wonderful to see you.
Wonderful to see you.
You used to be an actress.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yes.
She says, with so much passion for the stage, you're like, oh, yes, I was.
It's more the career that I did not succeed at.
Is that true though? Well, I mean, is that true? What?
Sort of.
I mean, we could do a whole episode on just what succeeding.
Let's not talk about that.
What succeeding really means when right. it comes to art. You talked to Rachel today, and she was talking about her daughter Jane, who's 10 and a half. And there's a lot that you go through in this episode, but one of the things that really struck me was she said, you know, I've realized recently that being a parent, sometimes there's some acting involved. Mm. And that really did resonate with me, mainly because I think that there's these never-ending situations where you have to be creative, or you have to act like you really care about something.
Yes.
Or when your kid is so serious about this fort that they want to build.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe that this is the most beautiful piece of art that was ever created.
Right.
And you don't care.
You want to be enthusiastic, but it's just like,
yeah. It's hard.
Or playing video game.
My daughter has told me that sometimes she listens to this. So sorry in advance if you're listening to this, daughter. But my daughter is the champion when it comes to telling a story that lasts forever. And she will, in excruciating detail, tell us about like her dreams.
Uh-huh.
And it will sometimes be like 15 minutes long.
Uh-huh.
And then this happened. And you get to this point where it's like I never want to tell her to
right.
All right,
exactly.
You know, speed it up.
Yeah.
I want to hear what she has
or
to say.
I can't listen anymore.
Right.
You don't want to say that to your child explaining their dream to you.
Ever. But I have learned to, and my wife, we have learned these sort of ways of asking kind of leading questions to sort of steer the to steer the thought. But there are certain things where like, that's crazy. You know, so what did you think of?
How did it end up?
Yeah, how did this go? You know, and yeah, but there is this level of being creative and acting. And acting, I think, can feel not genuine. And I think that's a lot of what Rachel is saying here, is that sometimes she feels like, oh, well, what's wrong with me?
Word pretending
right.
at one point too.
Yeah.
And it is, you feel like you're pretending to be enthusiastic or interested.
You're just tired.
Yeah.
And someone
this is
who,
the last thing in the world
right.
you care anything about. I'll never forget the time when my son, when he was little, he was crazy into Superman when he was little. And we played Superman again and again and again and again. And I was Lois Lane. And there was one day we were playing it outside. And I said to him, Casey, I can't play Superman anymore. And he sat down on a rock and cried.
Oh, no.
Oh, did I feel like an awful parent in that moment.
He's like, how can you do this to me? The plot is just starting to shape
good.
Up. I have finally worked out my Superman.
Right.
And you are ruining everything.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, well, on top of all of that, there, Rachel doesn't go into the specifics of it, but she seems to allude to there was a family member, I think she mentions an uncle, who got very sick, and she was really preoccupied with having to take care of him. And so there's this layer of guilt that mm-hmm. comes onto all this from feeling like there was a disconnect between her and her daughter, because she couldn't be present in the way that the daughter...
She was literally taking herself away
right.
much of the time,
right.
and leaving her daughter in the company of her wonderful father. Sounds like he filled in very well, but it's not the same. You know, you're
yeah.
gone. And she did her best.
Guilt adds so many layers on top of layer, on top
yes.
of layers, on
yes.
top of layers. And
then COVID, another layer on top of all that.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, so this episode's about, you know, reconnecting and finding, you know, that middle ground to where you can show your kid that you care about the stuff that they're into. And
but also be honest about what you don't care about. You can do that,
exactly
too.
Exactly what I was going to say.
Mwah.
It's like... We do a podcast together every week. All right, here we go.
Having clear boundaries can feel risky since they require allowing your child to be who they are rather than who you think they should be. To respond to your requests and explanations with understanding rather than questioning and resistance. When parents take on the job of making sure their children become who they want them to become or expect compliance because they're the parent, intentions get off track and messages to the children are not what is intended. Welcome to the show, Rachel. It's nice to see you.
You too.
So tell me about your kids.
Well, the child that I wanted to talk about today is my daughter, Jane, who's 10 and a half. And my connection with her, I feel, has weakened or is less strong than I'd like it to be.
How long would you say you have felt that way?
I would say probably since around COVID began, to be honest with you. It's just we had a lot of life issues going on, some illnesses and some deaths, some difficult things that required my attention to be placed often outside of my immediate family and required travel. And I was stressed and overwhelmed. And then, you know, COVID on top of things didn't really help. And so I feel that was a time where I wasn't physically spending as much time with her and couldn't devote as much time as I felt I wanted to or should really being with her. But I had other obligations that really took precedence over, you know, my being able to attend to my immediate family for a time period, for a long time period, actually.
Was your mental space not there?
Yeah,
as well?
Mental space, absolutely, for sure. And I think, you know, with all of that was going on, I think my own anxiety increased. And then that makes it harder to stay calm, be present, mm-hmm. to be patient, mm-hmm. you know, with a child mm-hmm. who's a bit feisty. Mm-hmm.
Your agenda was very, very, very full of all of these things that really didn't have anything to do with Jane. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Right.
That's
okay.
Right.
So this is what I call having a loaded agenda. I envision one's agenda as being like having this piece of cheesecloth around you. If you know what cheesecloth looks like, it's all holes with little string separations. And every little bit of our agenda fills those holes. And when your agenda is loaded, even you can have lots going on, but there's still plenty of holes for everything to be kind of going back and forth. Mm-hmm. But when your agenda is loaded, and usually crisis does that in a way. It sounds like you had
That's a good way of putting
it. A few crises going on. It's like everything is clogged. Yeah. All the holes are filled. And so there's no moving back and forth, which makes it really difficult with children, especially, but when it doesn't have anything to do with your child, it's confusing to the child often. So Jane was, what, 8? Around this time. So what was going on with her at the time? How did COVID and everything... and what you were going through, I'm assuming these crises didn't have to do with COVID. It's just that that was another layer.
Exactly.
On top.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think she was, at times scared, at times confused, and at times completely just blissfully ignorant and enjoying, being a young girl. So, there would be opportunities where I would talk with her, certainly. As much as I could, I made it a priority to address. Like, nothing was ever, skirted over or, we didn't pretend that, your uncle's going to get better or, we didn't do any of that. But it's still, hard. My not being there physically all the time, I think was hard too, although her dad, my husband, is a very much present, wanting to snuggle and, be
great.
There. So it wasn't as if she had no parent. She fully has another parent who's very, very involved. Yeah.
Good. But school shut down, right?
School shut down. It did. And she was doing school at home. And, that went... her school actually handled it very well, but online schooling for an 8-year-old is just not ideal because those social connections are not there, and just...
Exactly.
If you're on a computer screen, you'd much rather kind of divert your attention to a game than sit there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And screens become a very dominant place in your life.
They do. And that has remained, which is another thing, if we have time, I can talk about, because that's been a tough thing for me to kind of adjust to. Because until then, she had been very screen free-ish, and then it was completely big shift.
Right.
So,
It just... So some kids did really well and loved staying home and doing school on a screen. And some kids just lost it. I've heard stories of throwing their computers on the floor, of just not being in the virtual classroom at all.
Yeah.
Where was she? Where was Jane?
She was, I would say, she was like a B+. She could do it. Mm. There were days where she hated it. I think what became challenging is that there were often times where everybody else could be at school, but she could not, because we had to either be physically in another state to help care for my uncle, and she would come with me sometimes, or because we were about to go see him, she could not be exposed to other children. At the beginning of COVID, there was not the testing accessibility that there is nowadays. So we had, and we didn't know. So there were times where she could not physically go and all of her friends were there and she would be the only one on the screen. And that was a bummer.
So that's got to be really hard.
Yeah.
And knowing she's like an outsider at that point.
Yep. Right. Yep.
So outsider is an interesting word as I'm saying it, because I'm guessing she was also feeling like an outsider in your life.
Yeah, I think she probably did at times feel that way, because my priority was not her well-being in a visible mm-hmm. way or tangible way. Yeah, mm-hmm. because I was relying on my husband to pick that mm-hmm. up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And would you say it's gotten worse over time? Your connection with her has gotten worse over time, or stabilized, or a little better, or what?
I would say there's more friction within our connection. So in quiet moments, it's fine. It's good. Like, she can talk to me. She can tell me if there's something on her mind. She can tell me if there's something that's bothering her. But like the day-to-day, which is the majority of the connection, right, is like just the drudgery of life or the happiness of life, whichever way, you know, like that, just the normal living.
This
like,
has to be done. That has to be done.
Yeah. That stuff I feel like is actually where it's just really not fun.
What do you see from her that's not fun? What do you get from her that tells you your connection is not good?
I would say I feel like I am constantly saying no to her. And that doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to her. It certainly doesn't feel good to me either. There's a lot of requests for things or activities or that I just can't find, you know, my way to say yes to sometimes.
So can you give me a couple of examples of where you feel like you're always saying no?
Well, it can either be about her wanting to buy something or her mm-hmm. wanting to go to a friend's house or have a friend over or mm-hmm. maybe go do an activity
mm-hmm.
That I can't find a way to fit in mm-hmm. or I'm frankly mm-hmm. too tired
right.
to go and do right then.
Like, right.
So, like yesterday she wanted to buy some hair product. And okay, first of all, she's 10. So I have this visceral reaction to like, why the heck do you want a hair product? But I've done better at breathing with that and knowing she's not me. And she, mm-hmm. you know, isn't
good.
So,
good.
But that is my initial reaction. It's like, what the heck?
Right.
And so first of all, so she wants to buy a hair product. Then I recognize we have about 15 hair products currently in mm-hmm. her bathroom. So we really don't need new hair products. I thought she was trying to buy this hair product for a friend's birthday as a gift for a mm-hmm. friend. So she had misunderstood me initially in the day when I said, sure, I'll look at hair products with you. So she came mm-hmm. back and then I realized this was not for her friend. And I was like, Jane, you have a lot of hair products right now. I don't really think... you know, no, we don't need to buy one. So then she stomps off in a huff and gets really mm-hmm. mad and says, I don't understand her, or you always say no, or, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So these instances that you mentioned all have an of course involved in the way I'm coming at them to see them right now.
Okay.
In all of them, there can be an, of course you want that. Of course you want to do that. Of course, of course, of course. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's whether you say it or not, you don't have to say it. But if you can see that, of course she wants a new hair product. Of course she wants to go to this activity. Of course she wants to buy a new thing. Why wouldn't she? Of course she does. The of course helps you bring your expectations into kind of on track with her so that you're not, like you just alluded to, you, I'm sure, at age 10, were not using a hair product, and it was not in your radar.
No.
Right? And you have an attitude about a 10-year-old using a hair product.
I do. Yes. Right? Yes.
And I get that. And sounds like you're working on knowing that she is not you. She is a different person. She wants hair products are advertised all over the place. I mean, she probably has friends who are using hair products.
Absolutely.
She wants a hair product. Her hair matters to her. Maybe your hair didn't matter to you at 10, right?
Right. Yeah.
So there needs to be this when you're coming from, I never used a hair product at 10. What is wrong with you? That is taking you into an expectation of where is she coming from? Mm-hmm. She shouldn't be wanting a hair product that is not going to help you connect with her at all.
No.
But if you do see who she is and accept her, then you can always say, of course she wants that. Even if it's just age-related, of course she does. She wants what she wants when she wants it. That's what kids are all about.
Yeah.
There is no reason she would not want to eat junk food. There is no reason she would not want to be on a screen when she wants to be on a screen. There is no reason for her to not have a new hair product that she's found out about.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is her agenda, right? This is her agenda. This is who she is.
Yeah.
So in order to connect with her, you've got to understand her agenda. You've got to understand what's important to her and what it is she wants.
Yeah.
And never, ever, we don't ever have to belittle or put down in any way what our child wants. Mm-hmm. And we do that all the time. Where do you think the money's coming from? Money doesn't grow on trees, you know. What do you want that for? You've already got blah, blah, blah. We do it all the time.
Yeah.
We belittle them for their wants. Hmm. And what we want to do, what we need to do, is always, always, always support their wants. That does not mean fulfilling them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you? Can you see the difference between supporting a want and then it becomes your decision whether you're going to give it or not?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I think I need help bridging the gap between supporting and then not fulfilling.
Right. Exactly. And it's in the supporting that you don't come up with the no.
Okay.
So, oh, you want it? You want a new hair product. Tell me what it is about this hair product that's different from the ones you've got. Did you just learn about this? Did somebody tell you? Did you read about it? I mean, you're not going to just churn off those questions, but you want to be interested in why she wants this hair product.
Okay.
And that takes mental space. That takes mental energy. That takes caring about what it is that she wants.
Yeah.
And you can only be there when you can get out of that space that's telling you, what the hell? What is wrong with this kid? She's a little girl, for Christ's sake, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you're not going to talk her out of the importance of hair products.
No, this is, I have learned this.
Yeah.
I have learned.
Yeah.
Yes.
So join her in it and it will help with the connection. So what does this hair product do? Do you think I should use it? You know?
Yeah.
Why is this one better than that one? Then she's going to have some interest in telling you why, what she knows about them. Mm-hmm. Who knows what she's going to do with all of this? But it is never wrong to support her in what she wants. It doesn't mean you are leading her down the path of total self-obsessed vanity, and all she's going to care about is how she looks. What you do by supporting her and supporting her likes and her dislikes and her wants, certainly her needs, what you do with that is help her feel understood, gotten, normal, good about herself. Mm-hmm. And when any of us feel good about ourselves, that's the place we need to be in order to expand and grow and learn and open up to new ideas. When she feels constricted, when she feels that you don't approve of her, that's when she doesn't feel good, and that's when she's going to dig in her heels and go for every hair product on the market.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Okay. But then what do you do when Jane follows up and says, you know, she answers all those questions. She shows me the hair product and she's like, okay, so can we go to CVS and buy it?
Right. So this brings me pretty abruptly to, does she not get an allowance?
She does not get an allowance. No, she does not.
Which this is going to this is going to solve all your problems.
Okay.
I think giving children an allowance is as important as teaching them how to swim.
Okay.
I think it is the most one of the most important things we can do, because it's not handing over money. It's allowing our children to learn about money, to be responsible with money, to learn about saving, to learn about spending, to learn the value of items, and to especially learn delayed gratification, which our kids today are sorely in need of. Everything is instant, right?
Yeah.
Delayed gratification is falling by the wayside, and it's a very sad thing. So when you give her an allowance, you're letting her know what this allowance is for, right? So you want to be realistic about how much the allowance is and let her be very clear about what you are in charge of buying for her. That is always your responsibility, and what she's going to be in charge of buying for herself with her allowance.
Okay.
So hair products would be absolutely in the realm of her allowance.
Okay.
And then she doesn't have to come to you. You don't have to have this whole thing going on.
Right.
If she's begging you for money because she wants a hair product and she doesn't have any allowance left, then you can say, oh, bummer. Show me what it is. Tell me about the hair product and how much does it cost? And let's figure out how long it's going to take for you to save up the money for it.
That's an idea. Okay.
And then also, if she's really, really eager, there is an extra job aside from regular household contributions, an extra job. Would you like to earn more money to make it faster? And then you could come up with a job, a special job that she could do that would be X amount of money.
Yeah, we have done that, but I could use it in that way. That's what I like utilizing it that way. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you, when your kids have an allowance, it just breaks down all of that. Can I have this? Will you get me this? That's just gone. It goes away. Mm-hmm. The angst of it goes away because you know whether this is, you know, an allowance category or not. And then you can say, I get it. Yeah. That looks really cool. How long do you think it'll take for you to save up for it? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And you can do different things with an allowance. I've got that on other podcasts, but I think I even have a tip on allowances, maybe. I don't know. But it is so important. And when children grow up with an allowance, by the time they go off to college, they know how to use money. Mm-hmm. They're very financially responsible.
Yeah.
Work with her on figuring out how much it should be. Certainly work with your husband first.
Yeah.
Figure out what seems reasonable. And so that she doesn't have to wait a year to buy a hair product. But, you know, she might not have it this week.
Yeah.
But that doesn't negate the importance of, tell me about this hair product. What does it do? Mm-hmm. You know?
I know. When you say it, it very much makes sense to me. And yet that piece that you mentioned about you need to have the emotional sort of structure. Space. Or like, yeah, you have to be able.
Yes.
I think that's what I've been lacking. And I also feel like lately I've learned more that parenting requires some acting. Like you have to I have felt lately like I have to sometimes pretend a little, feign some interest a little, which I don't like to do. I don't want to feel that way. But like sometimes, no, I'm not genuinely interested. I'm not really. And that's a red flag of like, hey, I need a rest. I need a break. I need a, you know. But I don't know.
I don't think it's a good idea to go down that path. I know exactly what you're saying.
Okay.
But let's say you could care less about hair products, right?
Right.
You can say to her, this is so interesting to me because you are so into all the different things that this hair product will do and that hair product will do and that one. It's amazing to me. It's kind of like watching your brain do these really different things that are so foreign to me. Mm-hmm. I don't care about, you know this, yes. I don't care at all about hair products, mm-hmm. right? And I think that is absolutely fine.
Okay.
But what you're not doing with that is putting her down for wanting a hair product.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, I get that. And I think I can manage that genuinely speaking.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And I think when I'm stressed, I take the interest in something like a hair product or certain clothing or my gosh, my child is falling.
Right.
You know. So,
and your fears come in. What does this mean that she's got 29 hair products in the shower?
Yeah.
You know, what is she going to become? Right.
Yeah. That's or how is she fears. Spending this money and why is it all on hair products?
Right.
But yeah.
And that piece, when she's got an allowance, that piece goes away.
It does.
Right.
Yeah.
And she will also feel more independent.
Empowered,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can totally picture that already.
Let me just throw in here, an allowance is never attached to chores.
Yeah, I think that's why we have been resistant to giving it. I don't know why we weren't able to see past that, but she does a lot around the home. She does more than most children of her age.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, oh, maybe I need to scale it back. But my husband and I both have been like, that's the way we grew up. Our parents had this expectation. There was no money attached to it. This is just part of living in a family and contributing.
This is about learning. Yes.
Yeah.
The chores are about being part of the family and the allowance is about learning about the responsibility of money. And the two do not meet. So all of this brings me to the point, which I always come back to, that it sounds like this is about you taking care of you.
Mm-hmm.
And she does all these things around the house. She's not resistant.
She is a bit resistant, but she does do it. She does do it. I might not like the attitude associated, but she does do it. Yeah.
Don't expect her not to have an attitude. Right. So, but she does it.
Mm-hmm.
And kids feel better about themselves when they do things around the house. They hate it. Let them roll their eyes. Let them grump about it. Let them be miserable.
Okay.
But they feel better about themselves when they do. So she does that.
Yes.
She comes to you when she needs to talk about something.
She does.
Sounds to me like the work here, the hard part, is you finding that mental space and having that mental energy for her.
Yeah. Yep. I think that is part of it. It is. I find that challenging. She's feisty. She's fiery. She has a temper. And I have seen, like with my husband, oftentimes he'll choose the path of least resistance to avoid an explosion, which will pass over quickly. It's very fiery and then it goes away. Whereas I will not necessarily choose to avoid it, even if it's going to make her angry or upset her.
Good.
But then I'm left with feeling like, oh God, another like mishandled potentially situation or, but I mean, I know the point of parenting isn't to make your children happy. You know, they're going to have frustrations and anger, but it does, when I am already tired or maybe emotionally drained, it is difficult to have multiple encounters in a day where the child is left stomping off. So,
especially if you feel responsible for her stomping off.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what you can let go of. That's not your responsibility. I'm guessing this season of Survival on the podcast will have a good deal of focus on the mental space parents need to reclaim rather than give away. Too often when Jane is demanding, needy, wanting Rachel's attention, Rachel is more likely to get into it, to give into it, due to guilt and feeling inadequate as a parent. In doing so, she gives over her energy to Jane. That's when she snaps, because she feels angry and resentful and thinks that Jane is doing this to her. Boundary is essential to hold on to that mental space. How she feels about the interaction is fully hers. Okay. It is not your responsibility. What is your responsibility is every word that comes out of your mouth and every behavior you have. That is your responsibility. So if you get into a heated argument with her and you are owning your part of it, and not blaming her, not dumping your frustration, your anger, your guilt on her, but completely owning it, you can be all over the place. And she will too. Mm-hmm. And then maybe she stomps off and that's completely hers. She is the one who's choosing to stomp off. She is the one who's choosing to melt down. She is the one who's choosing that. You are the one who's choosing to engage or not engage. You are the one who is choosing to say what you are saying and feel how you are feeling.
Okay.
This is the really hard part, but this is the key. Can you see where you get into it with her?
Yes.
And want her to see it your way, mm-hmm. or blame her for how she's coming at it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, try to somehow make her take responsibility for something that really is yours.
I think I get sucked in or handle things less effectively when I expect her attitude to be more compliant or even more, mm-hmm. even perhaps more joyful in helping, in helping around the home. I wish that it wasn't such an issue every time.
When you think into the future, what are you fearing with her, her angst about it?
Well, in the end, I guess I'm fearing I'm going to be the one stuck I do not like having to look. I'm a mother. I'm a wife. I'm a human. Like, we all clean up, right? This is just a part of life. Yeah. But when it's unnecessary, I'm just like, and this falls within the purview of the child's like responsibilities. I'm like, just, I don't want to then have to spend a half hour when I'm already in a tight schedule having to clean this up, you know, whatever time
don't,
it may be.
Or, so don't you know. Do it.
Well, that's what I've started to do lately, is just literally not doing it. And then...
Because if you do it,
clean
it up...
They know I'm going to clean it up anyway.
I know.
That's been something new this summer that I have done, is I simply don't clean it up. I will admit, this other thing that I've done, which I'm like, oh, is this borderline like evil and terrible? I will sometimes take pictures on my phone and send that and say... Hey, this is still here. And that might be totally unnecessary, but like, for example, in a situation where the cleaning up doesn't get done and I either have a guest coming or it's going to interfere physically in the home with the care of an animal or something like that, I have to
do it.
So then I will take a photo. I mean, I know it's, okay. Did I ever picture myself doing this as a mother? No, but I don't know what else to do.
But here's the thing that I think is okay about that. It's if you can keep the blame out of it and understand that, of course, they didn't think about that. Of course, they're off on their own thing. That's their kids.
Yep.
The only reason they're cleaning up is doing you a favor, right?
Yeah.
They're doing it for you.
Yes.
So they forgot about it, right?
Yeah.
So if there's no blame involved, if you can just take the picture and say, this was left and I had a friend coming over, or this had to get picked up before you were able to, I just want you to see this and figure out some way where you can make that up to me in another area.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. I probably didn't phrase it as God.
Right, I'm sure.
I think that what I did do it yesterday, and I said, how can you let me know how you're going to fix this so it doesn't happen again? I think I said it like that. Like, it wasn't like, I'm so mad, angry face. But I was just like, what's your plan for not doing this again or something?
Right, that's fine too.
But even doing that to me feels like a nag. Like, I don't like feeling like a nag, but that's how I have felt. And it's summertime, so, you know, there's more stuff, but.
Okay, so in the nagging place, use the barometer, if you can, of where does my resentment come? When I go get to that tipping point and I go over into resentment, that means you're going to be nagging, right? Because you're feeling sucked somehow. You're feeling used. You're feeling unappreciated. You're feeling ignored. You're feeling something. Your goal is to not feel resentful. Now, your goal is not to do everything so your poor darling children don't have to lift a finger.
Right.
That is not your goal. And that happens in many homes. Mm-hmm. And parents are okay with that because they've learned that in their past and whatever. But you want to come to a balance. And when you feel, when the balance is off.
Yeah.
And you're doing more than, you know, if that happens once in a while, that's just kind of an, oh, well.
Yeah,
we'll
absolutely.
Work this out.
Everyone give grace to anyone.
Right.
Yeah.
And when it's this is happening more and more and more, then you're going into this area of resentment. And that's when the balance is off and you need to balance it out.
How do you balance it out well? Because I do feel these past couple weeks, and again, maybe it's a cumulative effect of summer, but I have felt more like, does anyone hear me? Jane, did you hear me? Then right. Don't forget, these are your responsibilities, you know?
And so that's when you think, okay, this is not happening. This is not happening. I'm sounding like a nag.
Yes.
I don't like it. She doesn't like it. That's when you pull back and you say, she's not listening to me because she doesn't like what she's hearing. She doesn't like what she's hearing because I'm nagging and probably sound like I'm blaming and I'm on her.
Yeah.
All right. This is a time to sit down and say, I want to have a talk about how we do certain things. I'm getting the sense that I'm coming across as only a nag, and to you, that's what I'm imagining I sound like. And for me, I'm feeling ignored, and so we need to figure this out so that doesn't happen. And that's when you have to kind of stop the gears and go on pause and just talk about it. We need to readjust here. We need to just kind of stop and start again, because we're going down that path of me nagging, you hating me, and that's no fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a reset conversation.
Yeah, exactly. It's a reset. Exactly. Or when Jane feels that resentment, feels unheard, and realizes she's coming across like a nag, she can also step back and simply ask herself, how would I like hearing what I'm saying right now? How can I get my point across without nagging and in a way that Jane will hear me? Often that reset can be done inside one's own head without needing a talk. Jane can become aware that her focus is on what's wrong with Jane. She's not listening to me. But if Jane simply shifts the focus to herself, how am I coming across? How can I say this differently? A lot can change.
Yeah, I mean, I see the vicious cycle that it creates when I don't have enough time or space for myself, because, you know, if I'm not able to be calm or centered, I can't help the kids. I can't help my husband.
Right.
You know, so I know.
And when you think that energy of hers, that feistiness, all that intense energy, it's so wonderful. I'm sure you love it in her.
I do.
And you want her to have it, but in the moment, it's draining. But it's only draining when you let yourself get sucked into it. So it's keeping your boundary, saying, I don't like this. This I can do. This I can't do. And to keep working on not feeling responsible for how she is dealing with it. That's hers.
Yes. And I think there was something you said earlier too. I can get caught in a trap of expecting her asking or her communication to be like, I want it to be in the form that I want it to be in, rather than it's in her form. I have to get past that sometimes. That
you got to let that go.
Yeah.
Right.
She's not going to ask for things the way I want her to. Sometimes I get so caught up there that I can't actually see what's underneath it. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I can take it personally or whatever, instead of just seeing where she's coming from.
All right. Well, thank you so much for telling me about your kids. And I hope some of this really helps.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. I'm Bonnie Harris. If you're curious to learn more or would like to talk to me personally, check out my website, bonnieharris.com, where you can also find my books, When Your Kids Push Your Buttons and Confident Parents, Remarkable Kids. There are also links in the liner notes. And please subscribe to Tell Me About Your Kids on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Tell Me About Your Kids is produced and scored by Echo Finch.